Isaiah chapter 9. Government shall be on his shoulder. May I just ask us to ponder the question a little bit. Who is in charge of my life? Consider, who or what is in charge of my life? God calls upon us to release our will and surrender to him, that he would be the one that would govern our life. We look at the world around us, and sometimes we look into the new year, and there are uncertainties. We wonder what is going to be coming up in the year ahead. Perhaps there are uncertainties, and perhaps there's somebody here in an uncertainty of a relationship. I was talking with somebody this morning, and there was something in a relationship that had gone sour, and there was a difficulty there and an uncertainty. How is this relationship with this one I want, a relationship that's loving and peaceful, and yet a relationship has gone sour? We look at the job market. We look at things that are going on. We look at look at the newspaper, and we see different aspects of the news. And it just seems like things are going bad over this way, and things are going bad over that way, and the storms are getting bigger and bigger. What is going to happen? And we look around at the world, and sometimes we might be tempted to say, yeah, sure, God is good, you say, and the government shall be on his shoulders. Then why are we facing the struggle? Why does man have to go through the difficult times that come upon them? Shasha would say, if there is a God, and as I went to that hospital room, and I got there about, I think it was about 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, after I had heard that what had happened to her husband, and there she was, and off to the side there, and is saying, why does this happen? I'm not a bad person, she would say. I'm trying to do good things. I don't get drunk, and I don't do the bad things, and I don't do the stealings and those kind of things. I've been trying to live a good life. There's a God. Why? So let's look at the matter of the government on his shoulder. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would guide our thoughts to this one who is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Lord, help us to analyze our thoughts. Bring us to a quietness before this one. Unto us a child is born, so meek, so mild, the one to rule. Show us, Lord, is there something or someone that is ruling, and perhaps we are ruling our own lives, not allowing you to have your way. Bring us, Lord, as we begin this year, to a full surrender to this God who is good, this God who loves, this God who is almighty. Lord, guide, look at your word and see in his name. Amen. The heart. I've thought quite a bit about the heart in the last 2 weeks. The heart is a muscle that begins thumping within the rib cage while the little body is within the womb of the mother. That little heart that begins something is put into motion by the very God Himself that designed life. For my mom, she lived to be 92, and some of the I talked to my daughter who is works in the nursing area, and she said that on the average, the heart beats some 72 times per minute. That brings the heart beats to some 100,000 times per day. And for my mom, the week before her heart stopped beating, that heart still pumped perhaps 500,000 to 600,000 times by the direction, by the strength, and by the power of God during that week. My mom baked Christmas cookies. My mom was in church the Wednesday night before she passed away. Each of our hearts are beating because the hand of God is there keeping that heart one beat after another beat after another beat in motion. What do you do with those heart? It's something that I could stand here and I could stop my breathing. I could make a choice that I'll stop breathing and just hold my breath and get a gulp of air. And I could hold it, I suppose. I suppose I could hold it until I begin to get kind of dizzy and maybe begin to pass out, and then automatically would kick in. But with the heart, though, I could think, I could try to get all my mental focus on that and think, stop it for a couple of beats. Could I get it going? And that's something that only God. Heart. Intricate details that as the government is on His shoulder, He is mindful of each of you. He's giving the people around this church, the neighbors, the people in the city, the people here in Wisconsin, the people on the Navajo Nation. He is giving those people another heartbeat. He's giving them another day of 100,000 heartbeats, perhaps, or 700,000 heartbeats in a week. And He's saying, I'm in control of that. I am giving this opportunity to you. I am providing the strength. I'm providing the rhythm. I am taking care of the beating of the heart. Here in Isaiah, we're looking at a time of distress and difficulty. Chapter 8, as you finish the chapter in verse number 22, it talks about trouble and darkness. Verse number 1 of chapter 9, it talks about dimness. It talks about the afflicted, lightly afflicted in the land of Zebulun. And then it talks a little bit further in that verse, more grievously afflict. And verse number 2, you have people walking in darkness. You have in verse number 5, the battle of the warrior, and you have confused noise. And Isaiah here is living in a time when Ahaz is the king. Sometimes we get somebody that seems like they rise up to the surface and they're reigning. And we think, where is God? Why is it that that individual had the opportunity to come into the power? Why is it that one it seems to be ruling over us? May I say to you that no matter who it is that gets into a position and they say, I am the president, or I am the governor, or I am the one that is in a position of leadership, there is still one that says the government rests upon God. And so we can continue to go on. We can go into 2015 with a confidence. We can go into 2015 no matter what may be taking place in your life, no matter what may be some of the things that will be facing you. And as I was talking with somebody this morning, they said that my job was shifted around, and I got put under a boss. And I've been under that boss before, and that boss kind of pricks at me. Prods at me. I just don't know if I'm really going to be comfortable about that. And even in that, the government is on his shoulder.
You know, we all need some molding or shaping or conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. One of my sons said one time when he was at college, he had a roommate, and he was telling about some of the struggles, some of the things that trying to put up with him, it was a struggle. I said, well, you know, sandpaper is not a bad thing to rough off some of the edges. You probably got some edges on your heart, in your life, that need to be smoothed off.
He said, sandpaper, nothing. He's a cheese grater. Well, you know, we have situations in my life, whether we want to admit it or not, but we have situations, whether we're young, whether we're beginning to get some gray hairs, whether we're beginning to get stooped over, there are some areas, as God looks down in our life, and as the heart is still pumping, and the heart is still beating, and there's still a rhythm inside of our rib cage, that God is looking down, and God is working right in front of us. The image of the Lord.
As the king there tells us in 2 Kings chapter 16 that he reigned.
And when we're thinking about somebody reigning, we're thinking about somebody that's in control, we're thinking about a boss, we're thinking about a teacher, we're thinking about somebody that is ruling over us, and we say, God, why did you let that individual get there? And Isaiah could have said that. Isaiah could have said, why is it that Ahaz, that man that it was described as one that did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the nations around them.
Isaiah here is writing 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ unto us. A child is born. God is in control.
It's as though, as he got that prophecy from heaven, it's as though,
as good as that.
It's still 700 years down the road. The Assyrians are coming in. The Assyrians have gone over the northern part of Israel. And it seems like they're just engulfing that. They just continue to press on and on. And the land of Israel, it seems like it's being taken away and ripped right out from underneath of them. And their cities are taken from them. And this Assyrian army just keeps moving and moving. And there seems like there's no stopping. And they're coming up to Jerusalem.
Isaiah said, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Look over to Psalm chapter 66, and says about God, he turned the sea into dry land.
They went through the flood on foot, and here in Psalms, there's a reference back to being delivered from Egypt, and God would open up the very sea itself, so that as Pharaoh's army is coming, and it looks as though they're going to be swallowed up by that army, that the Pharaoh has said, you can go now, you can get out of here, our country has been ravished enough by your God, go ahead and leave. And as they get ready to leave, the army says, oh, wait a minute, what are we doing? Letting them, our brick makers, our wall builders, we're letting them get away from us. Oh, we must stop them. And even there at the edge of the sea,
there was God as they stepped out by faith and surrendered to God. Very much. Oh, that's the God that we have going into 2015 with. You go on, and you see there in those verses there in Psalm 66 and verse number 7, he ruleth.
He, not just that he ruled at one time, not just that he's going to rule someday, but he ruleth. It's not just that I've got to look forward to, I just can't wait till I get to heaven because I'm just tired of all the hurts and the pains and the difficulties and the struggles in this life.
He ruleth now. You can trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and he will direct your paths. He goes on in Psalm 66, verse number 10, for thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. God is available to be our government to govern us. But are we letting him govern?
God doesn't force his way. Govern, we will be governed. We can be governed by our worry.
Don't know. I can't think. Don't know. Oh, I got this news. I don't know how it's going to work out.
We can be governed by worry. We can be governed by fears of this earth. We can be governed by the fears of man. And we can be prevented from witnessing to somebody. We can be prevented from giving out the gospel because we're afraid. How are they going to respond to me? What are they going to think about me? And we get governed by our own feelings, our own emotions. We can be governed by bitterness. There can be somebody that has done us wrong, and they have pricked and pricked and pricked and brought into our lives. And till we just get, I can't stand it. That's enough. I'm going to put my foot down. I hate that. I hate that.
You look to the New Testament, the book of Matthew, and Jesus tells us there in Matthew, and looking at chapter number 6, Matthew chapter 6, and tells about the various ones that are willing and ready to rule in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, number 24, no man can serve two masters. You're going to have a master. We all have a master. Somebody is going to rule and control and work in our lives. We might think, well, I'm going to make life work the way I want it. I'm going to be the boss in my life. I shall make my decisions the way I want to. This Word of God and reading the Word of God and staying up with studying the Word of God and coming down underneath the laws and the commands of God, that's not for me. Friend, you will be ruled. As I mentioned Leonard Jones, Leonard says,
I was going to somehow get through life. And I was going to make it somehow, but as he was trying to set, thought, oh, if I can just get away from that master, I'll just take my life, and maybe I can get away from that master that drives me to anger, and drives me to frustration, and drives me
to drinking and mistreating my wife. And so it is with all of us. We make a choice. We went back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve made a choice. Who is going to govern my life? And so that each one of us that has a heart that is continuing to pump and has a rhythm, even today, we're going to make a choice. Who's going to rule in my life? Who's going to be the one that order?
Is it that is going to be in direction and control of my life? No man can serve two masters, either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, God says, look around about you. The coldness that is out there, and it seems like that wind today, it just bites on through, and yet God says,
after this cold night, look outside. there, and God had watched over them. God had cared for them through the night time.
He says, look at the birds. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?
Verse 30, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? God wants to direct your life. God asks for total surrender. Before we get into trouble is, we hear the word of God, we hear the preaching, we read the word of God, and we get my life. There's some food over here. I'll pick this. The picture there, and so they fire attack. I'll kind of drop off. I'll do what I want. We go that way for a while. We find out. And if we just come back to recognize this area that I have not submitted, is there some area in my thought process, some area in my everyday life that not that?
Now, Sunday, well, I'll be in church, and I'll be a good person in church, and I'll sit nice, and I'll do the right thing. Come Monday, come Tuesday, or come Thursday night or Saturday night. That's my time. I've got to have my space. I'm going to do as I want.
And we allow God to be pushed aside, the one that will govern our lives to the best possible extent. I never would have dreamed of finding fulfillment by going to a desert region in New Mexico. And yet, as I look to God and ask God to guide me, I found the greatest fulfillment of life, just being with some precious people. I didn't know about them until I got out there. I didn't know that those people that live behind those mesas and live, some of them, I've got a lady in the church, has a rounded house and has a dirt floor in the house. She's saying, one of the things I would like to have a floor in my house that maybe it's cement or maybe a wood floor, some plywood or something down. Oh, well, that's probably not too bad of a desire to have. But I saw people. God directed me to people simply because I said, Lord, I want you to direct my life. I want you to have your way leading in my life. God wants to do that for each of us.
He personally wants to lead you. He personally wants to take notice. He says, if I take care of the birds of the air, and you look, and it seems like they have the ability to fly around in that cold weather, somehow they make it through a cold night tonight, and they'll be alive in the morning, and they'll be floating around out there. There's snow on the ground. Where in the world are they going to get something to eat? And God is watching over those little birds. And so as you look around at that, and you look around at the difficulties they must be facing in order to make it through a cold night like tonight,
God's going to take care of you. Even though there are situations, there are circumstances that may be harsh around you. But friend, when you're surrendered to God, He makes it so that the very peace of God is able to rule in your life. That's wonderful.
To live with His joy. To live as those angels that came down from heaven's glory and said, glory to God in the highest. There's a joy that can continue to ring up in your heart. Not based upon, as it talks about there in Isaiah chapter 9, it mentioned there, a joy like in the harvest. You know, we can be anticipating, we're thinking, boy, if I can have, if things work out this way, if I can get a raise, if I can have my health to work out a certain way, oh, then I will be happy.
Oh, God, and here they were tying their joy to the harvest. I was talking with my brother who lives up north, and this fall, he has not yet gotten the corn crop off the field. And so, for the farmer, if the corn crop is not off the field by January 1st, it's really not a whole lot to rejoice in. Here, these people, they had certain things and certain anticipations. They thought, well, if it's all going to work out, boy, I'm going to be joyful, I'm going to be exciting. If I can have my field back, or if I can get a crop here, if I can take care of my animals here. But God has a joy that He wants to bring from heaven to earth. Submit. Surrender. Now, God, in His love, kindly invites us now to come to Him. But He talks about in Revelation chapter 2 and several places in Revelation, Revelation 2, Revelation 19, talks about ruling with a rod of iron. Friend, God is going to have the last say. But does He have the say in your heart and life today? Does He have it now? Does He have a rule in your life because you choose to allow Him to rule? You choose to be submitted, surrendered to Him and to His will in every situation of life. That loving God, David, to bring you through to the end with great purpose and great blessing. May I encourage you, surrender to Him. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let Him be the one ruling in every decision, in every aspect of your life. And it will be the greatest benefit you can have in going to this year. You'll be able to come to the end of the year with no regrets as you surrender to God. Going our own way, we could have done that different. Oh, that didn't work out so good. Following the Lord, He's in control. He is able and willing. Just wait for us to submit. Tonight, you need to surrender. You need to let God have His way in some area of your heart and life tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for Your willingness to rule us. My, how we can be such a rebellious aspect of Your creation. God, deliver us from rebellion. Bring us to total surrender in every area. The area of reading the Word, the area of memorizing, the area of witnessing, the area of our recreation, the area of how our time is spent, every area. Tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just ask to, or in the beginning of a new year here, 2015, you'd say, here in my life, there is an area that has not been surrendered as it ought to be. Here's an area that I've been trying to run it myself. But tonight, God has worked in my heart. And I just want to raise up my hand and say, pray for me, because I have an area that, with God's help, I'm surrendering this to You, God. There's some like that. Just raise your hand and see that. Or in fact, see that. Oh, I do that. Here's my life. I surrender. Lord, You can have that. Oh, Father in heaven, help. Thank You for the tender speaking. The tender come unto me. The tender voice of appeal. Let me rule your life. Let me control. Lord, give now the strength to say, Lord, here I am. You can have all of really that's the way it should be. You have all of us, Lord, strengthen, encourage in these decisions being made in this hour. May they go out from here in knowing the reality of God's power, God's presence, God's peace to go with them, to enable them to do as you want them to do. In Jesus' name.